And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin. Good morning, Rabbi. Boker Tov.
Good morning, Ilan. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
That's good.
So, Parshat Chukat.
That's right. Parshat Chukat. It's very interesting topic because we've got a lot of very interesting laws. One specific interesting law that we don't really have now, we'll have obviously when the time when Mashiach comes, which was Moses was taught the law of the red heifer, the Parah Aduma,
yeah,
whose ashes are put on the person to purify a person who has been contaminated by contact with a dead body. And it doesn't apply now because we don't have the Holy Temple, but when Mashiach, Messiah comes, when we rebuild the Holy Temple, we'll have it again. And as the Jews, you know, are traveling through the desert, after 40 years, the people of Israel arrive at the wilderness. Miriam, which is Moses' sister, dies. And the people thirst for water. And God tells Moses to go and speak to a rock and command it to give water. Now, Moses gets angry at the rebellious Israelites. And what does he do? He doesn't speak to the rock. He strikes the stone.
Yeah.
And water obviously comes forth. But Moses is told by God that neither he nor Aaron will enter the promised land. So we see something very interesting.
That's the famous Moses punishment by God.
Correct. The one of the things, and you think, and you know, a lot of people will say, well, wow, what a harsh punishment for someone that just did
so much,
something so small, big deal. So he hit the rock, and instead of speaking to the rock, that justifies the fact that now he can't lead his nation that he's been leading till now going to Israel. So there's a lot of different explanations, and hopefully we can try and get to it today. But if we see the fact that Moses hitting the rock is probably one of the most mystifying episodes which are recounted in the Torah, because the well that supplied the Israelites with water that they were drinking from out dried up, and when it dried up, obviously the Jews all complained, saying, well, why are we supposed to come out of Egypt? Why is this? Why is that? We're coming to a life that's so much harder. It's not the greatest for us.
Yeah, we suffer more.
Right. So God instructed Moses to go to Mount Horeb and extract water from rock. Obviously, Moses did so successfully, but in the course of executing God's commandments, he made a small little grave error. And as a result, he's decreed that Moses must die in the desert, and he's not going to take into the promised land. Why didn't Moses, who was God's most loyal servant, just follow simple instructions? God said this, you do this. Why do you have to start doing different things? And the Torah is very ambiguous regarding the nature of Moses' error. There are so many interpretations as there are biblical commentators that talk about this and say, well, this one gives a reason why he did, and this one says, well, how is it possible that he could do something like that? And it goes on and on and on in the commentary. And the conventional explanation, which is quoted by the Midrash, which explains the Torah, and is brought down by Rashi, which is the main commentator on the Torah, on the Chumash, is that Moses was commanded to talk to the rock to bring forth water. And instead, Moses struck it. Because 39 years earlier, the first time the Israelites were in need of water, God had indeed instructed Moses to strike the rock. But this time, the instructions were different. And the problem is that Moses failed to comply. So Moses wasn't sort of a person that didn't really want to listen to what God wanted him to do, or to follow the instructions, but God, Moses also did remember that over 39 years ago, when the Jews were thirsty as well, God did tell Moses to strike the rock.
Yeah.
So obviously we have a few questions. Number one, if striking the rock was so awful and was so terrible, why was it okay to do it so many years earlier? And number two, why didn't Moses, God's most loyal servant, follow God's simple instructions? God says this, you listen to this. And obviously the final, the third question is why did this seemingly minor offense of striking the rock have such a severe consequence of what? Of that he can't now take the Jews into Israel. So, an analysis, if we look into Moses' leadership, will maybe perhaps be able to shed light on this episode. Now, Moses is synonymous with miracle. Because if you look, the name Moses means from the water he was drawn. Moshe.
Mashuoto, yeah. He was taken from the water. Yeah.
Correct. So this is indeed an appropriate name for an individual whose soul emanated from the hidden waters of the supernal world. And it never acclimated to his new habitat. Moses did not know how to deal with this world on its terms. Instead, when he needed to accomplish a task, he resorted to his supernatural powers to do so. Now, when he was coming to Pharaoh to convince the Jews, Pharaoh to let the Jews go, he did not convince Pharaoh to release the Israelites. He didn't even engage in a conventional warfare. Instead, what did he do? He used his miraculous powers to really, at the end of the day, to dispose and utterly crush Pharaoh, his opposition. So, based on this, if you think about it, he didn't talk to rocks to bring forth water. What he was doing is he struck them into submission. Now, this might be a very, very interesting or exciting tale, but this wasn't how the land of Canaan was to be conquered, because the Jews, when they left Egypt, they were a generation that they lived, really, if you think about it, on miracles of 40 years. But God had a different plan in mind for this generation, which was now posed to enter the Holy Land. They weren't intended to miraculously get rid of and annihilate their opposition. They were given the mandate to change the world by dealing with it on its terms, facing the problems, facing the world head on. And they were supposed to enter the world. They were supposed to plow, reap the field. They were supposed to bring the world to a higher level of spirituality and godliness. So, by Moses striking the rock was a symptom of the reason why he couldn't enter Canaan. This was a task which Moses could not accomplish. He was simply too great of a spiritual giant. Excuse me. And that's why it was a task of Yahushua. Moses could not take on. He was too high on the level to take on the world head on. And so therefore for him, Moses striking the rock wasn't the reason why he couldn't lead the Jews into Canaan. It was a symptom to that reason. But it was not the main fundamental reason why he could not go into Canaan. His main fundamental reason why he could not go into Canaan was that he couldn't go and based on God's plan for this new generation, that they were supposed to get dirty with the land. They were supposed to get, you know, taking on the world head on. It was too on a lower level for Moses to do. He was too on a high level. So at the end of the day, even though Moses hit the rock, but that wasn't the reason why he wasn't allowed to go to Egypt. Because then you would say, whoa, this doesn't make sense. What a severe consequence for such a minor offense. Even though there are opinions that say that this wasn't such a minor offense. If you and I would have done this, then yes, this would have been a minor offense. But for Moses, but for Moses to do something like this, this was a very grave offense. So, the lesson of this episode in our relations with others is in our endeavor to draw water, holiness, and value from our people is quite clear. We're supposed to be there to try and help people. We're supposed to be there to try and draw out the good of people. But this lesson should also guide us in our own spiritual journey with ourselves, between us and God. The way we act between us and God, the way we try and make our journey of life a better journey. Because we start... I do apologize, I'm going to get just a drink of water.
Don't worry,
having a bad cough with the cold doesn't
really
help. How do you
really say, gazunt, gazunt?
Gazunt,
yeah.
We start serving God by hitting the rock. Now, we may not understand, but we may not be convinced. But at the end of the day, we follow God's orders because we must do so. We might hit the rock. We might challenge God. We might do certain things and say, well, why should I do this? Why am I supposed to go in this way? But at the end of the day, we do follow God's orders, so this is what we must do. We overpower our natural impulse and urges in order to do the mitzvot that we don't necessarily challenge God. We don't necessarily, quote-unquote, hit the rock. We accept the fact that this we can challenge, we can ask reasons why, but at the end of the day, we still need to do what God wants us to do because this is what God's orders is and we have to do it. But after we get to this level, we still have to mature spiritually. We must talk to the rock. We must study enough and gain the understanding to actually convince ourselves, our emotions as well as our minds, to become spiritual people. Because in the beginning, we're going to have a lot of challenges. We're going to hit the rock. We're going to start doing things. Why does God want us to do this? Why does God want us to do this? But once we've overcome that, and we're going to grow and mature spiritually, then we need to talk to the rock. We must study enough. We must learn Torah. We must do mitzvah. And then, and only then, are we going to be able to enter into the promised land in order to be able to receive godliness down in this world, bring Mashiach down in this world. So Moses was not challenging God, God forbid. He was more in the fact that he was on a spiritual level, he was on a higher level, and that for him to be able to work with in this world, in other words, to take the world head on, he was more of a spiritual person. So for him, he was still in the level of, I can't work with wars. I can't work with these kind of things. I'm a spiritual person. So he hit the rock. But it wasn't the fact that he's going to get now a consequence that he's not going to go into Israel. He just, based on the fact is that now he wasn't ready to be able to do that. Yehoshua, at the end of the day, was going to take the Jews into the desert at the end. So we have to learn a very important lesson. That in the beginning, yes, we're going to strike the rock. In the beginning, we're going to argue. In the beginning, we're going to take things. We're not going to take things lying down. We're going to do a little bit more challenging. But after that, then we have to be able to mature and talk to the rock and help other people and study with other people instead of telling people you need to do this, you need to do this. Study with them. Bring them close to God. And with that, we will finally see the Holy Temple, the third Beit HaMikdash, and then, God willing, we'll be able to have the red heifer.
Yeah. And Rabbi, what about services in Shari Tzedek?
Services Friday evening are 7:15 and Shabbat morning day are 9 a.m. as well as Sunday morning is every Sunday morning at 8:15 followed by breakfast at the Shar HaShemayim.
I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you. You too. Have a wonderful week. Keep cool because it's going to be a very hot week this weekend.
Yeah.
So stay safe.
I will. Thank you.
Have a good one. Be
you
well.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.